Happy Monday. Happy Monday. Beautiful day here in Fairhaven. Hope it's beautiful wherever you are. And I want to thank Sean Oliver for coming in. He's always available whenever I need him, which I appreciate. So, guys, normally I do a Christmas show. You know that. And last year I wasn't able to do it because I didn't feel good. Like, had a almost like a flu. And as I come into the transplant time, right, I've got more tests this month. And I have to keep my health in the best possible condition. So I'm not going to do that Christmas show. We used to get a ton of people here in the studio, and I enjoy it. I really do. But I can't take that risk. Just like I don't go to political fundraisers, I don't go to wakes, I don't go to funerals anymore. And I've missed a lot of really important ones to me. But I always figure the guy in the box understands what I'm trying to avoid, right? So, in other words, there's all kinds of illnesses out there. My immune system, because of my kidney problems, is not what it should be. And when I get the transplant, which could be this year, I will have to take immunosuppressant drugs. So my immune system will be basically non-existent. So the organ doesn't get rejected by my body. So I'm going to have to live the life of a hermit so that I can live a normal life again, right? I mean, now, and believe me, I'm not saying this to, I'm saying it to explain it, right? I'm not saying it to so anyone feels bad for me. I don't want that. I have a great life. I have a wonderful job. The people I work with are great. They've supported me. You've supported me. And we'll make it work. But I just want you to understand why I'm, you know, it's not that I'm not festive this year. It's that having a studio, the little tiny radio station here, jammed full of people like I've had in the past, which makes it really fun. Could really screw things up for me, so I'm not going to do it this year. And I think most people understand that. And it's going to be that way for a little while for me, so that I can get off dialysis and not be tethered to a machine. Not that I mind. I mean, it restricts my freedoms, but it keeps me alive. So I don't forsake dialysis at all. I love and appreciate the people that provide it for me and the technology. It's all marvelous. But it's also restricting, right? So hopefully we'll get the organ done this year and everything will go according to God's plan. And that'll be great. So anyway, I'm trying to get people in individually. You know, having a person in here one at a time, that's not bad for me. But having a whole pile of people could be kind of productive to what I'm trying to do, right? Which is live. So, and we're going to go on with the program here this morning. We're going to have a gentleman from the Massachusetts Fiscal Alliance calling into the program. Talk about all the good work Mass Fiscal is doing. And then after him, we'll be joined by Amy DeCibio from Act for Wales, talk about some of the latest developments in the offshore wind industry, of which she's opposed to, for economic and environmental reasons. So we'll take a break and then we'll be right back. Stick around.
This portion of programming on WBSM is brought to you by D's Hot Dogs in New Bedford, where you can get two hot dogs, soda, and a bag of chips for only $5.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM.
Welcome back. I'm Chris McCarthy. You're the audience. A little Christmas time music. We're now joined by Paul Craney. Paul is from the Massachusetts Fiscal Alliance. I recommend you go on to their website. Also, YouTube. They make really easy to consume, humorous, very informative videos. And, you know, add a little bit of sugar with the medicine, right? They make you laugh. They make fun of some of the policies, the insane policies going on here in Massachusetts. And it's really, really, they are a very important institution for the taxpayers of Massachusetts. Before we join Paul Craney, I'm going to play the latest video that they have up. I saw it over the weekend. It's about Aaron Mikowicz. He is the very powerful state representative, Democrat, chairman of House Ways and Means. That's the budget writing committee, the tax committee. His counterpart in the Senate is, of course, Mike Rodericks, who represents many of us here in my listening audience. Aaron Mikowicz, well, I'm going to play the clip, and then we'll be joined by Paul Craney. Hold on one second.
One of the internal Massachusetts challenges is that we're confronted with a ballot question that could lower our income tax from 5% to 4%. Now is not the time for irresponsible ballot questions.
Chairman Aaron Mikowicz opposing tax relief at a time of soaring living costs and declining economic competitiveness highlights how disconnected Beacon Hill has become from the realities facing working families and employers. This is the same chairman who touted a legal fund for illegal aliens during the FY26 budget.
This budget will create an immigration legal assistance fund to help individuals receive legal representation, and we will allocate an initial $5 million to that program.
If lawmakers are looking for irresponsibility, they should start with their own record.
It is not a revenue problem that we're facing.
Where's the audit, Mr. Chairman?
Welcome back to the program. That was a clip from the latest video by the Mass Fiscal Alliance, massfiscal.org. They do incredible work, and they're not getting any government funds, guys. So keep that in mind when you're out there enjoying Mass Fiscal's advocacy for you, that they're not being supported. Unlike the state reps and the governor, they don't have access to the budget, all right? So they rely on donations. Now we're now joined by Paul Craney. Good morning, Paul. Thanks for joining me.
Good morning, Chris. Thank you for having me on.
So, I was just playing this clip for my listeners. You guys turn out a lot of really good videos. Where do you get the information that you use to make those videos?
Well, it's really a team effort. Everyone on my team has a hand in these videos that you see. But a lot of it is also required of us going out in the field and recording these videos as it's happening. The one you just showed there was of the chairman, Aaron Mikowicz, who writes the budget, as you mentioned, but he was before the legislature. So, you know, in this case, the staff was either there or watching it online and picked up on those comments that he made. But, yeah, one of the things we do is we try to produce videos, put them on social media so that people can see what's happening and we could get the message out, you know, pretty much immediately, as quick as possible. And that video was produced by Massachusetts Fiscal Alliance, and we also have a 501c3 called the Fiscal Alliance Foundation. It's tax deductible, and that organization wanted to talk to you about today with your listeners, as a lot of people at the end of December every year consider making charitable contributions. The Fiscal Alliance Foundation, or 501c3, you know, could be considered for their generosity.
Because Paul Craney from the Massachusetts Fiscal Alliance, the Massachusetts Fiscal Alliance Foundation. How does one do that, Paul?
Well, the Fiscal Alliance Foundation, like I said, is a tax-deductible organization, so we have to follow very strict guidelines for what we can and can't do. But if you go to fiscalalliancefoundation.org, you can make a tax a deductible contribution with a credit card online, and that would be immediate. On that website, you can also find our mailing address. In Boston, you can send a contribution. Some folks have sophisticated ways of making charitable contributions. They can do that with stock or with donor-advised funds, and we gladly accept that. But the Fiscal Alliance Foundation, as a C3, as a tax-deductible organization, puts out content that is a little bit more focused on informing the public with what's happening, as opposed to holding legislators and the governor accountable, which is the video you just showed of Aaron Mikowicz. So the Fiscal Alliance Foundation has done a lot on looking at some of these high cost of energy bills, why that's happening. Is it the utilities that are driving up costs, or is it the policies that are governor, legislators, and regulators adding? The Fiscal Alliance Foundation has done long videos on the proposed ballot question for rent control, which is also, you know, often debated at the state house as just a policy. So looking at rent control, you know, what that would do to our economy. And the foundation has done some work. We're going to do a lot more work next year on protecting Proposition 2.5. This is a law that was approved by the voters in 1980. It's been around for about 45 years. It has kept property taxes from exploding. Unfortunately, when Prop 2.5 was passed in 1980, property taxes were already high in Massachusetts. But if we didn't have it, property taxes would be much, much higher. And there is a big effort right now to try to either repeal Prop 2.5 or water it down. The mayor of Boston, Michelle Wu, has come out and said she wants it repealed. The Massachusetts Municipal Association, a group that advocates for, you know, mayors, city councilors, and selectmen, have said that it should get modified, which is watered down. And then Governor Healey, when she was asked about it, she said something along the lines of anything that lands on her desk, she'll consider, which is not an answer you should be giving when you're talking about Prop 2.5. So next year, I could tell you the Fiscal Alliance Foundation is going to do a lot on energy issues, climate issues, and on Prop 2.5 to protect it. The good work that Barbara Anderson, Chip Ford, Chip Faulkner, and Citizens for Limited Taxation did to ensure this law is there, we want to go ahead and continue to protect it. So for your audience, you know, if you're considering making end-of-year charitable contributions, those are just some of the projects I mentioned that we've worked on and we will be working on next year. Please consider the Fiscal Alliance Foundation as a tax-deductible organization worthy for your consideration.
Paul Craney from the Mass Fiscal Alliance is with us. Paul, I have to concur with everything you just said. And guys, they're doing the work that nobody else is doing. I have to tell you something. And they're facing incredible odds, and they are kind of the only ones out there now. And so if they go away or can't sustain the fight, you're going to pay the price. You are going to pay the price. I'm going to pay the price, particularly in property taxes and energy issues and the dormant economy that will result. Talk a little bit more about why the energy prices are so high and what your foundation discovered. It's not the power companies, really. It's the legislature, right?
Oh, absolutely. So last spring, Governor Healey did this big press conference. We actually went to it, you know, asking about how do we get these videos. We go to these things. So we went to it, and she made this big announcement that she wants to take costs off bills, which is kind of an awkward thing to say. Really what we want to do is get rid of these costs, not just take them off bills, because there's other ways government officials can get you. But anyways, so she did this big announcement, and she said, among many things, but one of the quickest and cheapest ways to bring more energy into New England and Massachusetts is through solar. And for folks that follow this stuff closely, you know that solar is very expensive in Massachusetts. So we wanted to respond to that, and a woman named Lisa Lenoz from New Hampshire, she's a independent energy analyst, put together a white paper, which you can find on the FiscalAllianceFoundation.org website. If you go under studies, FiscalAllianceFoundation.org, you can find the white paper, download it. It's about 6 pages. It's pretty easy to read. Solar is actually driving up a lot of cost for electricity bills, along with other climate mandates. So adding more solar is going to continue to drive up costs for electric ratepayers. Found that the last 10 years, the policies in your electric bills, that part of your bill has gone up 13.1% every year the last 10 years. For non-policy parts of your bill, so the cost of producing and delivering electricity, has only gone up 3.6% every year. So 13.1 versus 3.6. Now, government officials want to blame the utility companies, and a lot of us as ratepayers who get these bills get frustrated by these very large bills. But you have to look at what the bill includes. Costs are going up. Policies that are in the bill. Among them is expanding solar. These are the things that are driving up costs. So when the governor says she wants to expand solar, what you're really doing is you're making it very expensive for ratepayers, and you're continuing down this path. Now, if you have a solar, you know, panel on your house, you know, it worked for some people. But as a policy for the whole state of New England, this is a very expensive way to produce energy, and it's all part of the net zero mandate, which is something that was passed into law in Massachusetts, which is really the culprit for why all of these costs, natural gas costs, and your utility bills, any type of bill that you pay right now, you're looking at it and you're saying, why is it so expensive? It's because of this net zero mandate. This mandate is going to continue to make our utility bills extremely expensive from now to 2050 when net zero goes into full effect.
We're speaking with Paul Craney from Mass Fiscal Alliance. Paul, I've been a big fan of Mass Fiscal for years, so I know that you guys were ahead of this back under Charlie Baker when this was all proposed, and you encouraged the Republican governor, and he listened to you, to veto this, but it was overrode by the legislature, his veto. Talk about that.
So this is kind of funny. Governor Baker was one of the people who pushed it originally. He did a State of the Commonwealth address, which is a once-a-year speech he does, any governor does, and he announced he wants to go net zero by 2050. At that time, we push back as hard and loud as we can, warning that these costs are going to go through the roof. And at the time, not a lot of people were listening because your utility bills were so low back then. But when, you know, he made that big announcement, but when the legislation was before him as governor, there were different variations of it. Some variations he supported, he signed. Others that were like continuations, he was against, so because of some of the details. But, you know, we're not necessarily like a, for your audience to understand, we're not a Republican versus Democrat organization.
Right, right.
We hold on to what we think is the right response for issues, and these politicians, Republicans and Democrats, either can get on board or they can object to it. So in this case, you know, the Governor Baker was actually one of the proponents of it, but then he also had issues with some of the details. In other cases, when you look at, like, audit the legislature, you have a Democrat state auditor and Mass working together on this policy. So we work with both sides, and sometimes we have to call out both sides because we're trying to put the best policy forward and advocate for it or educate the public on the policies that are being put forward so that they have the information they need to be educated on it, like the energy issue, like the climate issue.
We're speaking with Paul Craney from the Massachusetts Fiscal Alliance. So, Paul, you guys are up there advocating for serious economic development policies, things that help small businesses and large businesses, help people who work for them. And without you, a lot of really insane economy-killing policies would get passed. How can people help you out?
Oh, you're absolutely right. It's amazing some of the stuff we've stopped considering it's Massachusetts. The best thing people can do is a few things. One is check out our social media pages, and that's on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, which is now called X, TikTok. Check out anywhere you can go on social media and find us. Look, the at Mass Fiscal or at Fiscal Alliance Foundation. Those are the two different organizations. And follow us. Give us a like. Share our content so that other people can see it. Every time you watch a video, you share it, you know, it gets pushed to the general public. That's one way. The other thing is check out our website, Fiscal Alliance Foundation, or Mass Fiscal, and sign up for email updates. This way, when we send out things that are happening immediately, you know, you get an email on it. It's this way you're the first to know. And the last thing is please consider supporting us, the Fiscal Alliance Foundation. That's what I'm making a plug for today. There's a lot of really good causes people donate to the end of the year. If you consider the Fiscal Alliance Foundation tax deductible as one of those causes worthy of consideration when you do your end of year giving.
Paul, I appreciate you coming on whenever I need you and providing me with a lot of material and a lot of facts so I can bring it to my audience. Keep up the good work, my friend, and have a Merry Christmas.
You too, and thank you.
Thanks. All right, that's Paul Craney from the Massachusetts Fiscal Alliance. Like I said, they're a very unique organization carrying the torch for Barbara Anderson, who's passed on now, Chip Ford, Chip Faulkner, and that whole group, right, that brought us Prop 2.5 and reduced the income tax. I mean, just a great group of patriots. So support them if you can. This holiday season, Shooting Supply has the deals that you need. Guns for Christmas. Save $90 on the Smith & Wesson 9mm Shield EZ. Now just $399. The new Sig Sauer P365X Macro is in stock at Shooting Supply. Come see the latest in America's most popular handgun line. On a budget, the Taurus G3C with a lifetime warranty, just $219 after the rebate. Need ammunition? Who doesn't? 500 rounds of Winchester service grade 9mm, only $119. Gift cards are available for the hard-to-buy for sportsmen. You do not need an FID card to buy a gift card at Shooting Supply. Find all the best holiday deals at Shooting Supply, 848 State Road in Westport. That's Route 6. Or go online at shootingsupply.com. All right. So we're going to be joined by Amy DeCibio when we come back, talking about some of the updates for offshore wind, whether you're for it or against it. It's information you're going to need to know. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
One day, there must have been some magic in that old silk hat they found. They placed it on his head, he began to dance around. Frosty the Snowman was alive as he could be, and the children say he could laugh and play just the same as you and me.
That's right, Frosty the Snowman. You know what? What doesn't like snow is that windshield, particularly a cracked windshield. You got to get it fixed. Get that cracked windshield fixed. It's very easy to do. All you got to do is call Citywide Glass. They're located in Dartmouth. They're located in Fall River and online at citywideglass.net. Best of all, they'll come to you. You don't have to go to them. They'll send their mobile tech team, skilled technicians, right to your home or your work parking lot, and they'll fix that windshield for you. Best of all, they'll bill your insurance company, so it won't cost you a penny out of your pocket. So there's no reason not to get that windshield, if it's cracked, fixed today. Make an appointment. Call Citywide Glass in Dartmouth. Call them in Fall River or go online, citywideglass.net. All right, guys. So the Anastasia Lennon at newbedfordlight.org has a really informative article about what the Trump administration is doing with offshore wind. I'm going to play a little clip from the robot's going to read the story from New Bedford Light. I encourage you to go to newbedfordlight.org and read the entire story or have the robot play it for you at home. I'll give you a clip of it, though, and we'll talk more about it when Amy DeCibio joins us here in a moment. Here's the robot.
Trump administration suspends leases of Vineyard Wind and four other offshore projects. By Anastasia E. Lennon. President Donald Trump has escalated his war against offshore wind, now going after all five under construction projects, including Vineyard Wind, and using the Department of Defense, now called the Department of War, in his clampdown. On Monday morning, the Interior Department announced it is immediately pausing the leases for Vineyard Wind, Revolution Wind, Sunrise Wind, Empire Wind, and Coastal Virginia Offshore Wind, due to national security risks identified by the Department of War in recently completed classified reports. A press release from Interior asserts the radar interference created by wind arrays is a national security threat. Vineyard Wind is almost done with construction, with only one turbine tower left to send out, and then some blade sets to install. It has been sending power to the grid all through the year. It is unclear if the project must now cease sending power. Their leases will be suspended due to national security concerns, Interior Department Doug Burgum told Fox News during an appearance Monday. During this time of suspension, we'll work with companies to try to find a mitigation. We completed the work that President Trump has asked us to do. The Department of War has come back conclusively. The Interior press release said the pause will give the government time to work with leaseholders and state partners to assess the possibility of mitigating the national security risks posed by these projects. In the statement, Burgum said the freeze addresses emerging national security risks, including the rapid evolution of the relevant adversary technologies.
So that's Anastasia Lennon's article at the New Bedford Light. You can go and have the robot play the rest of it for you or read it in entirety. They do a good job, as you know, newbedfordlight.org. We're now joined by Amy DeCibio from Act for Wales to talk about this and other things that are going on out there. Good morning, Amy. How are you, my friend?
Chris, Christmas came early this
year. Tell us what's going on.
Yeah, so I'm glad that you were just, giving your audience some of the information from the articles that are around. You know, this is something that we have been talking about for a long time. Obviously, Act for Wales' focus has been on the environmental impacts from offshore wind. But as we have stated in our lawsuits and in our media, and also you and I have talked about this a dozen times also, there are many other impacts. And the clutter, as they call it, that's caused by offshore wind is radar interference. Essentially, these big turbines, when they spin, they create, they emit things that can scramble radar. And they can create false targets, and they can miss targets that are out there. And by targets, I mean objects, boats, planes, whatever. So they can make it impossible to see accurately what you would be normally looking for in radar. So it's great that the Department of War is taking this seriously. This is something, that over the last year, many of the organizations have been focused upon, even all of us who are clearly really concerned about the environment. The environment wasn't, for some reason, a slug can shut down a train line. But, some endangered slug or an endangered tiny bird can make it impossible for a whole train line to go through or a whole power plant to go through. But for some reason, killing huge whales didn't seem to matter here. But what will matter is our national security. And I think this is something that we are thrilled that they're finally taking this seriously.
We're speaking with Amy DeCibio from Act for Wales, based on the article by Anastasia Lennon about what the Trump administration is doing. You can find more news outside of the New Bedford Light, certainly. Amy, we had Megan Lapp on here talking about these national security issues this past summer. It's finally made it into real conversations.
Finally. The bottom line is, we have talked about, scrambled radar is super dangerous if you're a boater, if you're a fisherman, if you're, if you're the Coast Guard. I mean, if you just think about it, if you are out in the water and you are trying to identify either someone or some vessel that you are trying to find, it's difficult if you're, let's say, search and rescue. But even if, hang on one second, that's my alarm going off, Chris, sorry. But the other thing is, if you're trying to identify nefarious targets, okay?
Yeah.
So now, especially with drone warfare, drones are hard to identify without any problem, any clutter, okay? Anybody right. Scrambling the radar. I think that they're finally really taking this conversation seriously. It's been one of our biggest frustrations has been that the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management during the Biden administration was really allowed to just forge forward and not listen to what the other agencies were saying, if they had a concern. Well, what about this? What about that? What if there are national security? Okay, they just would say, okay, uh-huh, and then just move on and hand out a bunch of permits. And, this president has changed that, for starters. There were very material changes that even happened at the very end of the Biden administration around how making it much harder to cancel projects. And, there's just been a lot of stuff like that has happened. And BOEM has been able to kind of run roughshod over any of the agencies that should have been more than consulted. They should have had to effectively climb over the hurdles that they were putting up for them. And if they couldn't, then they shouldn't have issued permits. And so now we are seeing a better way to address all of this. So we are really happy that, I don't care how they stop these projects one way or another, it'll be better for our environment. If dead whales all over the place isn't going to do it, then let's find something that does. And I really think that national security has to get everybody's attention here. And if this is a real threat, then these things shouldn't be out in the water. And one other thing, I think we mentioned to you a while ago, Sweden canceled 16 projects because of their fear of this from Russia over the sea. And what is it? The Black Sea, right? So, the same, why would our issues be different? And in fact, we were looking to do, millions of acres of offshore wind turbines. So I think this is a wise move. And I hope that they are going to be serious about this and that these pauses are permanent. And I'm hoping that the next thing we need to figure out is how to pull these things out of the ground and sell the stuff for scrap metal.
We're speaking with Amy DeCibio from Act for Wales, actforwales.org. Amy, why would American energy companies damage national security? Oh, wait, they're not American energy companies. They're foreign companies. Explain that.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, these projects have been, they are backed. They all have pretty names, Vineyard Wind and New England Wind and Empire Wind. We have all these Ocean Wind, these innocuous names of, they sound like these are just small startup companies. This is not what's happening. These are all limited liability companies. They're all LLCs. And I think that that's something important to understand around their limited liability, but they are all, for the most part, backed by big foreign energy companies from overseas. So Vineyard Wind is, Iberdrola, which is a Spanish company. Actually, their subsidiary here in America is Avangrid. We all know who they are. And Copenhagen Infrastructure Partners, but we've got Ørsted and Shell and EDF, and the list is long of foreign energy companies that have come in here and to put up these projects, but they were really able to create great business opportunities for themselves, because so much of our U.S. government tax dollars were being allocated to this. So they were playing the tax credit game. So, you know, when you can, you know, put up a $1 billion project and on day one, you know, secure $300 million in tax credits, which is basically cash, the way they finance it.
Yes.
That's a, you know, that's a pretty good return on your investment, right? 30% works.
Right.
So, and then, you know, and then you have all of these states who have allowed power purchase agreements for the rates that we all pay to be egregiously high. And they negotiate all of this stuff behind closed doors, all of the power purchase agreements, and they negotiate rates with the wind companies for much higher rates than we would all normally pay for true dispatchable baseload energy, things right. that are, you know, that are actually reliable. And then they give priority to the grid to all of these expensive, unreliable sources of energy. So none of this works for us, the taxpayer, ratepayer. All of this has been to a great advantage to foreign energy companies. So I think it's, and, you know, parts and things, you know, who knows what's on these things, right? You know, we, you know, are they
asbestos?
Are there cameras? I mean, you know, I don't know.
Is there
radar
asbestos
for other countries?
Is there asbestos in those blades? I saw a report over the weekend that says some of the blades, not necessarily the ones that are out in front of your house, but have asbestos in them. They're finding out.
Well, let me start with this. There are none in front of my house because I don't have a house on the water.
You're right about that. Yeah.
Well, in fact, no one in our group has a house on the water. But I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, that has not been listed for offshore wind from what I've seen. But I wouldn't be surprised if some of the onshore, you know, like the ones outside your office that I see when I'm up there that are never moving, you know, when we're at your station, that are never moving. It wouldn't surprise me if that's a component of some of those, but I don't know that. But there's plenty of other stuff that's in them that you surely wouldn't want to eat. And when they break apart and fall into the ocean and end up in the food chain, because fish, you know how many fish are out there that just eat any little shiny object, you know, who knows if we're all eating the fish that, you know, ate the turbine last summer. I don't know.
We're speaking with Amy DeCibio from Act for Wales. Amy, if people want to get more information about your group, help you guys out, how do they do that?
They can go to our website. And Chris, you're always so nice about asking about that. It's act4wales.org. ACK, the airport call sign for Nantucket, number 4, Wales. act4wales.org. And we're going to try to get some information up on this. We're also on Twitter. We're on Instagram. You can find us there. But this is really, I feel like we're really moving the needle here. I don't know if the Trump administration has had this ace in their, you know, up their sleeve the whole time. You know, it's been a bit of a roller coaster.
Yes.
We've had, you know, Empire Wind off New York, you know, was stopped and then restarted. And I feel like around this Speed Act that's been going through Washington, I mean, literally trying to, you know, fast track and energy projects. And I think they're more talking about more reliable sources of energy, but everybody's been horse trading down there. And offshore wind, you know, it would be terrible if offshore wind is part of that. You know, and I think we should be really thankful. There are a few congressmen out there that have been very, very aggressive on this for years. And it's Congressman Jeff Van Drew and Chris Smith from New Jersey.
Yes.
And Andy Harris from Maryland. And they have been firm on this particular topic and very helpful about informing the public out there and their fellow folks in Congress. So I think, you know, it's hard to get everybody's ear and there are big issues that are out there, but I think we're finally latching onto something that that could be really good news for us, for the ocean, for the whales, for people on the beach who are dealing with EMFs, et cetera. So I'm really hoping this is moving in the right direction.
And the ratepayers.
Well, of course the ratepayers. I mean, the whole cost issue is just such another huge argument. And you're right. And Massachusetts has really bungled this, you know, eliminating all the sources of cheaper energy, you know, in favor of really trying to favor. Literally, we are favoring unreliable, expensive energy, you know, in the name of it being green, when in fact it's not. And I hope that as everybody takes a look at this national security stuff, that they really reconsider their positions around the environmental, you know, the seriously damaging potential effects of this stuff on the environmental side at the same time. I mean, this, I'm hoping, you know, we need, this should be in a coffin and we should be nailing this thing shut forever and throwing it overboard. It's just this offshore wind, this whole thing has been such a fool's errand and a very expensive one, both environmentally and economically. So we're hoping this is really going to be getting us closer and closer to the funeral of this one.
Thank you, Amy, for joining us. Have a Merry Christmas, my friend.
You as well. Take care, Chris. You're the best. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. That's Amy DeCibio from Act for Wales. They do amazing work. Really amazing work. It's like David and Goliath, really. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Stick around. Welcome. Welcome back to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy. A little bit of Elvis Presley for you. So, my good friend Billy Walsh died this year. Your friend, too. Many of you. Of course, he loved Elvis. And he sent me a letter before he died. He had the wrong address. And so it went back to his house. He's not there anymore. But his sister, Anne, was kind enough to put it back in the mail to send it to us. And so Natalie got it, you know. And it was about an Elvis movie that's coming out, apparently. And he said to me, hey, if one of us figures out where this is going to be, we have to go see it, you know. So keep your eyes peeled, you know, for this Elvis movie that's coming out. And we'll go check it out wherever it is, you know. Obviously, he won't be seeing it. Maybe he already has seen it, you know. But anyway, it's crazy, right? When you get a letter from a dead guy. And I appreciate Ann Foligno for sending that to me. And so does Natalie. All right, guys, listen, I got dialysis today, so I'm going to leave you and go across the street, get all my blood taken out, cleansed, and put back in my body, and God willing, I'll be back tomorrow. If not, I'll be listening to Elvis with Billy, right? Maybe it's going to be Cabby. It'll be somebody after me. I'm not really sure who's coming up next. Whoever it is, they'll be good. And then Howie Carr after that. So stick around. God willing, I'll be back tomorrow.